ओम ज्ञानति निरंधस्य ज्ञानंजन शलाकाय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। नमः ओं विष्णु पादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिन इति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादि पाश्चात्यदेशता। नमः ओं विष्णु पादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती इति नामिने। श्री वार्षभानवी देवी दयिताय कृपाब्धये कृष्ण संबंध विज्ञान दयने प्रभवे नमः। माधुर्योज्वल प्रेमाढ़ श्री रूपानुग भक्ति दाशी गौर करुणा शक्ति विग्रहाय नमोस्तुते। नमस्ते गौरवाणी श्री मूर्तये दीनतारिणे रूपानुग विरुद्ध भस्म तत्व। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्रीद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। I suggested when we discussed yesterday that at this session I should speak on an overview of the life, or more correctly, the activities, the pastimes of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. As many of the devotees may not be aware of that, which made me think that, well, you should be aware, and one service that could be taken up, of course there are thousands and millions of services to be taken up. There's no shortage of service, projects, all kinds of different things that could be done. But recently was published, just toward the end of Kartik, that's North Indian Kartik, not Tamil. Tamil Kartik's going on now, isn't it? Yeah. North Indian Kartik, just Prabhupada's disappearance day in Dhaka, was released the Gujarati edition of Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav, the first part, the life story, we'd call it, which is not a very good term, but we often use such terms to, we use these mundane terms to describe the transcendental for lack of proper vocabulary. In Hindi Sanskrit, say charitra, I guess. Jivan charit, something like that. Jivan katha, something like that. Jivani, do you say that in Hindi? Jivani means biography. But charit or charitra, that gives the idea of the activities and the qualities also. It's not just a collection of facts and figures, but it reflects the qualities also. Hare Krishna. Well, someone came all the way from Bangalore. They're not coming half a kilometer, but they're coming. How far is Bangalore? 130 kilometers, something like that. 200 kilometers. So, Hare Krishna. So that's one possible project, is to get that translated in various languages, at least the first part. And one thing I'd suggested, especially for the other parts, is to, because there are many quotations from Bengali, to get the Bengali, especially for Indian languages, to get the, and then the what's written in Bengali can be better translated if it's translated directly from Bengali. Otherwise, I use some word in English and then some other word is used apart from the original word in Hindi, Gujarati, but it could be the original word. Just like, for instance, I might write, it might be written in Bengali, Jivani, and then I write in English, biography, and then in Hindi it's written Jivan Charita, which is not bad or wrong, but it's closer to the... And sometimes it can actually... Some meaning can be lost, because in Sanskrit there are many words for the same thing, but they all have some slightly different meaning. So if you choose the wrong or a different word from the one that I use to translate something, then you could come out with something different. Oh, that reminds me. I was going to speak about that. Here it's written Atma. Right? And then Dehino Svinyata Dehe. It's not incorrect. But I would say jiva or jivatma is a better word to put, because the term atma, thanks to Shankaracharya and all his followers, or no thanks to them, it's atma is generally conceived of as a synonym both for the individual living being and for, well, it actually is in Sanskrit, for the ultimate living being. And when someone, if we say I am Atma, mostly people would think, well, what is meant by that is that I am the self, capital S. I am the ultimate self. I am the all-pervading being. So I just thought, because in English, when we're speaking, we often use jiva and atma. We use them both. What's the word? In the same way. But in Indian languages, when you say atma, people generally think of it as the ultimate, impersonal, all-pervading. And if you say, I am Atma, people think, yes, yes, yes. We're all Atma. So it's better to, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Mamaivangsho Jivaloke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. In that, he uses the word Atma many times in Gita, in various contexts. And it's important to understand which contexts he uses it in each place and what is meant specifically by it in each place. But in this context, he says, Mamai Vang Shoji, the jivas are my angshas, which is very important to understand that, because the whole misunderstanding of Hinduism is going on the thought that, well, we're all just Atma. What did you think in your youth? Were you, you're from an Iyengar background. Did you have any philosophical background? Nothing. But did you know that we're not all one? Did you know that much? That much you knew. Okay. Modern Iyengars, they don't know at all. They know Sachin Tendulkar and Sai Baba. Oh. Yeah. What a sad situation. But the Madhvas, they still know. Because we may say we should all be very nice and gentle and peaceful. Madhvacharya, he wasn't like that at all. He was very strong. And up to the present day in his sampradaya, even if they don't know much philosophically, they know that Jiva and Vishnu are not the same. They know that. They're very clear about that. Whereas most of India is just misled by this. Everything is all one. You can worship whatever, whoever, however, if ever you like. And what's wrong with worshipping Sai Baba? Because it's all the same. All the same. All the same. As you like. But... So that's the danger with being nice. Everything's nice. Oh, you always bring Sai Baba. Oh, very nice. It's not very nice. It means that you're wasting your valuable human form of life. And well, that's at best, you're also making the offense of worshipping someone who is not fit for that level of worship. If any level of worship, should he be worshipped at all? Again, just like I said just previously, even this little child here is more intelligent than Einstein. He doesn't even know, he's chanting Hare Krishna. So even the most neophyte devotee is more spiritually advanced than Sai Baba. Or any of these, Ramana Maharshi, you say, oh, very advanced. Well, from one perspective he was, but from another, no. Because he didn't recognize Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Absolute is sentient. Thou hast proved impersonal calamity, thou hast removed. Getting back to the subject of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. This half stanza spoken by... No, actually, he made full stanza of Srila Prabhupada. Abhai Charanaravinda Das Adhikari. This appeared in a poem which he offered to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who particularly liked, of all the stanzas, of all the verses in the poem, he particularly, adore ye all a happy day, blessed than heaven, sweeter than May, when he appeared in Puri, the divine place, something, something, his divine grace. So it's a very nice poem glorifying Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but especially Saraswati Thakur selected this line. Absolute is sentient, thou hast proved, impersonal calamity thou hast removed. You know how to translate that? Sentient, do you know what that means? It means chinmaya, actually. But when we say the term chinmaya, it doesn't mean, it means sentient on the spiritual platform, whereas it's a difficult one. I don't know. I'd have to look it up in the dictionary. Sentient? What does it say? It probably translated something like that. Chinmay. But when we say chinmay, that means particularly on the spiritual platform. Chaitanya Shil. Chaitanya Shil. Chaitanmay? Maybe better. It's difficult, you see. That's why everyone should learn Sanskrit, I guess. Otherwise, we get different. We use words in English, but they're not exactly the words which are given. So the Absolute is sentient. In other words, the Supreme is not impersonal. That's the point. Impersonal calamity thou hast removed. Of course, the Mayavadis, they say that the ultimate is sentient, but there's nothing to be sentient of. Conscious. Sentient, I suppose a synonym of sentient is conscious, aware. But if there's nothing else, if there is eko brahma dvitiya nasti, if we take that, there's only Brahma and nothing else, if we take that in the absolute sense, then there's nothing of Brahma to be aware of. Just Brahma is aware of Brahma. The Absolute is aware of the Absolute, but it's called nirvisheshavada. There's nothing. Brahma has no qualities. Well, if you say Brahma is chinmoy, that's already one quality, isn't it? Their whole philosophy, it doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't make any sense. So there are no attribute, there's nothing to be aware of. There's nothing to be described. So it's a horrible philosophy, impersonal calamity. This kaivalyam narakayate, this also the Prabodhananda Saraswati describes the conception of one ultimate oneness is just like hell. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he personified this. It was against this impersonal, because it's worse than hell. It's something horrible. Don't you feel that when you hear someone speak or you read something, everything is all one. Krishna is just some manifested, stylized Krishna, styled. When you read Bhagavad Gita, you understand this is styled Krishna. Krishna represents something. When you hear it, you feel, ah, something horrible. Oh. This is something very nasty here. It's very unpleasant, unwholesome. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he very much appreciated that this disciple has recognized what is the essence of his mission. Absolute is sentient, thou hast proved. Impersonal calamity, thou hast removed. He removed it by making very clear, everything very clear. As Bhagavatam states from the outside, to distinguish reality from illusion for the welfare of all, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did that very clear, not vague, as we were discussing yesterday with Huda. There are certain things you can say, which you can say it in such a manner that everyone feels you're talking to them. For instance, if you say that compassion and empathy are the essence of spiritual life. So if you say that, then Vaishnavas will think, oh, that's very nice. And Mayavadis will also think, that's very nice, that's true. We also feel the same thing. And mundane welfare workers, they'll also think it's very nice. So everyone will think you're very saintly, except persons who have had the fortune of reading Srila Prabhupada's books. And they'll understand that this is simply cheating, because you're not making clear what is compassion. If you say compassion and empathy, I don't see Srila Prabhupada walking around talking all the time, compassion, empathy. First of all, he made it clear, we are not the body. So compassion means to save people from the bodily concept of life, and from the, after that, you have to save them from the impersonal conception of. So without making that clear, if we talk about compassion and empathy, we'll think that some cheater like Mother Teresa or Dalai Lama is the paragon of compassion and empathy, which doesn't help anyone. It's a method of cheating. Therefore, Bhagavatam says from the beginning, dharma projita kaitava atra. Cheating dharma is rejected here. And how is it rejected? By this vedyam vasam atra vastu shivadam. By presenting the actual knowledge, clear, genuine knowledge, which is all auspicious for everyone and which uproots the threefold miseries. Excuse me. So this is our Acharya line, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, making very clear Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are not equal to Him. We can never be equal to Him. We are always subordinate to Him. Then we, okay, when we fully understand this, then we can speak about compassion. Compassion means to teach people this, which they don't like to hear. If you speak about compassion, empathy, and feeding the poor, people like to hear it because it reinforces their illusion that I'm an enjoyer of this world, exploiting everything in this world, but I'm good also. See, I also give charity to feed the poor. So I'm good also. I do care for others. I'm not totally selfish. Actually, I'm very concerned about all the poor people. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur taught, if you're actually concerned, then teach them, give them the knowledge by which they won't have to be born again and again and again and suffer again and again. This is real empathy. Empathy means, that is stated in Bhagavad Gita. What's that verse that, Sukeva, Sukham Vayadiva Dukam Sayogi Paramo Mataha. How does that verse begin? Udara Sarva. No, it's not it. I can't remember. How does it begin? You want to look it up? How does that begin? That by comparison of others' situation to one's own. Atmopamyena sarvatya samam pashati yorjona sukham vaya divadu kam sayogi paramomata. The best yogi is he who sees I suffer and enjoy. So others are also suffering and enjoying in this world. Everyone's suffering in this world, actually. So this is empathy on this basis. First, understand this. Bhakti Siddhanta. You should know what is Bhakti Siddhanta. Otherwise, even if we go into Krishna Bhakti without understanding this, then we may displease Krishna. And this we saw in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, that people were very eager to glorify Krishna's pastimes. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wouldn't accept everyone describing Krishna's pastimes. There was a principle, Bhakti Siddhanta Viruddha Arasa Bhas Shunile Prabhur Chite Nahoyulash. Anything Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if he heard anything, even if it was description of Krishna Leela, but if it was described against Bhakti Siddhanta, in other words, with a wrong philosophical understanding. For instance, that Krishna represents the Supreme. Very common misconception. Or as I read in a translation of, what's that called? Tirupavai, the in the Kartik month, the Sri Vaishnavas, they chant that. I read a translation. Tirupavai. I read an English translation. Well, actually, I didn't. I just read it for about 5 minutes, and then I stopped because I wanted to see what was the quality of the translation. And I doubt if it's there in the original, but even if it was, I wouldn't want to read anymore because it said the Gopikas, they worship Krishna, and ultimately they merged into Krishna. So that's not... That's, again, impersonal. So Krishna Leela, if someone is describing it in an impersonal way, then that gives no pleasure to Krishna. And giving pleasure to Krishna is the dharma of the jiva. Everything is supposed to be for the pleasure of Krishna. Tadarke kila cheshta. Or otherwise put, Krishnarte kila cheshta. All activities, all endeavors of the devotee is meant for Krishna, not for myself. So Bhakti Siddhanta Viruddha Arasa Bhas. One cannot enter into the field of rasa, of understanding and appreciating, and much less describing Krishna's pastimes, if one has no knowledge of rasa, rasa jnana, how Krishna is pleased. Krishna is rasik shekha. He is the topmost enjoyer of various rasas, but some rasas don't mix. It's like putting salt in milk. Some people like to do that. It's not proper. It's not nourishing. It's not pleasing. Some people might like it, but it's not pleasing to Krishna. Or putting chilies in milk. Can you imagine? You like to put chilies in milk? Have you ever saw anyone do that? No. So it's chilies if you put with dal. All right, okay. Don't put too many. All right, okay, that's nice. And milk, if you take, you take with some sugar. All right, that's very nice. So they're both good, but in their own place, in their own proper setting. So there are different rasas, but some, they don't mix. Just like some examples are given there in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. The Shanta Ras and Sringar Ras, they don't mix. O Krishna, you are the supreme, all-pervading reality, so please kiss me. It doesn't mix. Incompatible. They clash against each other. There is a place for each of them, but not together. So all these things have to be understood. It's a great science. Srila Prabhupada translated this, the title of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, his presentation of, as the complete science of Bhakti Yoga. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he delineated that. First thing to understand, Krishna is person, not insentient. Krishna is sentience. He is consciousness, Chaitanya. Krishna is Chaitanya. He's the object. He is Jnanam Gyeyam Jnanagamyam. There you have it in Bhagavad Gita. He is knowledge. He is the object of knowledge. And he is attainable by knowledge. So Krishna is conscious. He's the object of our consciousness. And our consciousness is meant, we're meant to be Krishna conscious. This Jnanam Gyeyam Jnanagamyam describes Paramatma in the heart. Hridi Sarvasya Vishtitam. Present in the heart of everyone. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was described. I was supposed to speak about his activities and past. Oh, actually, I did last year, I think, wasn't it? But I only got as far as. How far did I get? I didn't get very far. I should have continued. How far did I get? Up to his Mango Leela? I'd make a note of it, and then next time I can continue. Yeah, many things to be said. He himself said that there are many misconceptions, but therefore I have to speak at great lengths and repeatedly. We find in Srila Prabhupada's books it may seem repetitive, but it's necessary, because we have to hear the same things again and again to understand. And also, Srila Prabhupada, although he often makes the same points again and again, but each time it's from a slightly different context, slightly different perspective. And Srila Prabhupada relished saying this. Same thing. He would say again and again. He'd meet people and he'd tell them the same thing that he'd told so many other people. He'd tell them. He didn't tire of it. because his mission was to serve his own spiritual master's mission and to benefit the jiva. So he speak again and again and again. He'd give the examples of the coat and the person. The coat is different from the person, same way the body is different from the real person within the body. Again and again and again he'd say the same things, because his object was to benefit others and to serve the mission of the acharyas. He didn't think, well, I'm getting fed up of all this. How many times did I say it? Oh, let me just go back to Vrindavan and join the Rasalila. Which he could have done. He didn't have to leave Vrindavan, but so that others could have the opportunity to experience what he experiences, he taught Krishna consciousness from the beginning, again and again and again. And how many people were willing to listen? Hardly. Srila Prabhupada met with so many people, hardly anyone took up what he had to say. If we see so many people were brought to meet Srila Prabhupada, big, important people. They didn't... mostly they didn't take seriously what Srila Prabhupada had to say, but he didn't tire, he went on speaking. Some people took it up. One thing, I had some realization recently, reading a book by one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, is that although he had a lot of association with Srila Prabhupada, it seems that he didn't really hear what Prabhupada had to say. He liked Krishna consciousness, and he took it up, but he didn't. He wasn't at all philosophical. He wasn't very philosophical about it. Only meeting people and doing things. He was running on Srila Prabhupada's personal association to a large extent. That Gaga Muni, famous member of our movement, maybe you haven't heard of him, he was very famous at one time. And if you read Prabhupada's letters and everything, you see he was one of the very first devotees, Brahmananda's brother. He was always known as Brahmananda's brother. And, well, when he came to India, he stood out more in his own right. But I met him, this must have been, early 1980s, and he hadn't been active in the movement for many years. He told me he left the movement shortly before Prabhupada left, because he saw that Prabhupada was leaving, and he told me, for me, Krishna consciousness was Prabhupada's personal association and performing service and personally offering it to Prabhupada. Said I could see that was coming to an end, and so I left. I didn't have that was Krishna consciousness for him. And of course he's been living in Vrindavan for many years now. At that time he was living in Bangkok, which not the best place for spiritual life. If you've been to Bangkok, you'll know what I'm talking about. If you don't, anyway, I won't get into why Bangkok's not very suitable for spiritual life. So it may be that this prime function in relationship with the Guru, it's not actually even personal service. So many devotees, they want to do personal service, which is good, it should be done. But then so many people may want to wash the Guru's cloth, for instance, but unless he changes his cloth 20 times a day, then everyone doesn't get an opportunity. And that also becomes that he's got more important things to do than change his cloth 20 times. And so many people may want to cook, but you can do that for Krishna. Guru directs you toward Krishna. You cook so many things for Krishna. Guru is a limited jiva. He can only eat so much. Of course, Madhvacharya, he had exceptional potency in this regard and in other regards, but he's remembered not for his gastronomical capacity. Madhvacharya is not famous because he could eat practically unlimited amounts of food, but for what he said, for what he's speaking. So the link with the Guru is by hearing, and Guru Mukha Padmavakya Chite Te Koriya Aika Arna Kari Homone Asha. By literally taking to heart. What the Guru says, understanding, Guru Mukha Padmavakya, he's described as lotus mouth. It's not some ordinary speaking. Literally take it to heart and not desire it, make it one with our heart, not desiring anything else. So that is the bond between Guru and disciple. Guru means teacher, he has something to impart. That can be imparted by hearing. Maybe you have to hear again and again and again. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur exemplified this, speaking on and on and on, and writing. Speaking and writing, speaking, and our own Srila Prabhupada, same thing. Of course, so many other activities also, traveling here and there. Both of them started from scratch with no one, no helper. They both started no helper to establish something which was never known before. As I described earlier, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, what he was giving was not known before. Even though Vaishnavism was known in Bengal, but the way he presented it was something completely different. Completely different means the perspective, the understanding. Drigdrishya vichar. Don't try to see Krishna. Don't try to enjoy Krishna. Be seen by Krishna. Don't try to see Krishna. So they both had many wonderful activities. They both initiated many devotees with powerful preaching movement, many building institution, deities installed. And that it's still to the value. That value is still going on. The Gauriya Mats are there, and on this day people will assemble in all the Gauriya Mats. There'll be a festival, no doubt. Once I was in Cuttack, in Orissa, doing research on this Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav, and it happened to be the Vyasa Puja, either Vyasa Puja or Tirubha Mahotsav of Odulomi Maharaj, who was the previous acharya of that branch of the Cuttack, the Sachidananda Math. Cuttack came under the Bagbazar Math, which was under Odulomi Maharaj. So on that day, I visited that Math many times because I used to go to Cuttack many times for that research to visit Jyoti Shekhar Prabhu, who lived just from his house. You can see the wall of the mat, but you can't. You have to go around to get to it because there's a drain, and then you have to walk along the next to the drain, then go all around. Anyway, it's not very far, but I used to visit there daily when I visited him, but I never saw it's completely full. So still that's going on, and people will come daily for darshan. People are benefited, no doubt. But the real benefit they have to have is by hearing. And like I say, 2 hours would generally be the minimum for his talking. Formally or informally. He would give lectures, generally in the morning, sometimes in the evening, and he would meet with people. The same that Srila Prabhupada did. Big, important people of the world would be brought to him, he would speak, and he would speak, and he would speak, he would go on and on, and go on speaking. 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, he would go on speaking. He was very enlivened to speak. When the doctor told him, don't speak, the doctor told him, okay, said, because he was diagnosed as having a heart problem. So the doctor told him, don't speak. And then Saraswati Thakur took that as a cue to speak to him, to the doctor, for a long time. on the subject that life without speaking Harikatha, that is not life. He said, I've been speaking all these topics from the very beginning of my life. I've been speaking on all these topics of Harikatha. And I will go on until my last breath. I'll go on speaking this. I'll go on speaking on these topics. So he is Saraswati. He is Saraswati. That's a girl's name, isn't it? She. His name is Saraswati. He is Saraswati. Saraswati's other names. Well, she's famous for study and for music. And other names of Saraswati are Vani and Vak. So Vani means literally speaking. Vak means speaking. In Bhagavatam it's described the daughter of Brahma, Vak. That's another name for Saraswati. So he is Shuddha Saraswati. He described it Dushta Saraswati. She is a manifestation of Yaya Samohita Jiva Atmanam Trigunatmakam. See, the Maya is that personality by which conditioned souls identify themselves with this material world. So Dushta Saraswati is the manifestation of knowledge by which persons think they're very learned, or in fact, if they don't know Krishna, then their knowledge is completely useless. Shuddha Saraswati is the manifestation of, or she is, that personality who gives the actual knowledge of the Vedas, who speaks Bhagavatam. That's stated in one verse in the second canto. That when Krishna spoke to Brahma, that was that is Saraswati. So that personality has descended, or is non-different from, or is that we call the avesh, shakti avesh. Avesh means infusion. So Bhaktistan Saraswati Thakur is infused with the potency of Shuddha Saraswati to the extent that he is non-different. You say, Guru is non-different from Krishna. How is the Guru non-different from Krishna? What does that mean? He creates, maintains, and destroys millions of universes. No, but for a certain purpose, is imbued with the power of Krishna for the particular purpose of giving knowledge to the conditioned souls and from saving them from the burning fire of material life. So they all do that. Every bona fide guru must manifest on his or naturally Saraswati will be manifest on his tongue in the form of Guru Mukha Padma Vakya, the words that are spoken by him. They're all chinmay. They're all of the spiritual nature. But that particular facet of transcendence, Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur, exemplified to the ultimate degree. His speaking is delineating reality. Reality is Krishna. Delineation of reality also means to understand what is non-reality. Can there be any such thing as non-reality? That's a philosophical question, because if you can conceive of it, it must have some kind of existence. If even just within one's imagination. But still we speak in those terms. Non-reality. Non-reality means it's some level of reality, but it's not substantial. Just like a dream, it's real in one sense, but it's not substantial. So in the same way, this whole material existence is real in one sense, but in another sense it's not real, because it has no connection, or it's conceived of as being without a connection to Krishna. Ritheritam yad pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmai. Tadvidya atmano mayam yata. Yata tamo tata. I'm in Maya. I can't remember it. Yata bhasam tato tata tamaha. Anyway, the meaning is that this is very, very important to understand, that Maya means that which is conceived of without understanding its relationship with Krishna. Because the Mayavadis, they say Maya, and their understanding is something quite different. It's simply translated into English as illusion. But what is the nature of that illusion? The Mayavadis say, well, it's all an illusion. It doesn't actually exist. All there is the pure self. That's all there is. And everything is absolutely an illusion, which is not possible, because if it's absolute, then it's... Anyway, again, I'm not going to try and describe Mayavad philosophy, because it doesn't make any sense at all. We shouldn't think Mayavadis are good philosophers. Well, in one sense, you could say they are, in the sense that they're good at making all kinds of convoluted, seemingly very philosophical statements, but it's all nonsense, really. It's all nonsense. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And even if they bring logic and everything, but the logic, it's all completely flawed. So, ritertam yad pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmani yad vidyad atmano mayam yata bhasam yata tamaha. Mayam, that's a very important subject which we should understand very clearly. Again, Bhaktisiddhanta we give clear knowledge. This is reality. This is what should... Reality is not just some philosophy. We're sitting around talking about reality. But... we are how we are supposed to act. Sambandha abhideya prayoja. Who we are, why, this is our actual situation, therefore we should act in such a manner. Therefore I didn't speak so much on prayojan tattva. We find among the Prakriti Sahajya class, they like to talk about pastimes of Krishna and tell it in such a manner, tell some little jokes, oh, Krishna said this, oh, 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 how funny. And they speak in such a way that it's presumed that the hearers, that the speaker and the hearers are both on the platform of being able to relish those pastimes on the spiritual platform. They're there with Krishna. But if one is not, if one has any desire for material enjoyment, then one is liable to take such pastimes as something for my own enjoyment and to think, oh, Krishna's a good joker, so, oh yeah, I'm also a good joker. Krishna's a good dancer with the gopis, so yeah, I'm also. That tendency is there. So first of all, sambandha gyan, bhakti siddhanta, understand clearly what should be done, what should not be done. What is the meaning of bhakti? to serve Krishna for Krishna's pleasure. Then later we may hear about how Radha is rejecting Krishna. Otherwise we're not going to discuss such things in public. Or even among neophyte devotees. How will they understand? How will we understand? All ananda chinmaya rasa. This is all pleasurable pastimes on the spiritual platform. This is all prema vivarta. These are the various turnings and transformations of pure love. So it's prema is the prayoja. Prema, pure love for Krishna, is the ultimate goal. That's the ultimate need of everyone. But this is another saying of his which defines his mission. Pujala Ragapata. That we shall worship those who are there with Krishna. We shall approach cautiously. We're not aiming for Vaikuntha. Disappearance day of a Vaishnava, one term for that we say Tirubhav, another term is Vaikuntha Vijay. Do you say that in your language? You didn't hear it. Vaikuntha Padam, Prapti, Vaikuntha Prapti. Yeah. That means going to the spirit, going to Vaikuntha. But our aim is, or Ganga Prapti, sometimes it's someone, they got liberated. They died, to put it very simply. But very clearly, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he wasn't aiming for or directing anyone toward Vaikuntha. His kirtan, his constant spirit, that was kirtan. His kirtan, he described, Bhaktivinoda Thakur describing about himself in the poetry, in the introduction to his commentary on Upadeshamrita. Vidya balila keba. Vidya balila keba dayata dashera seva gopi dhana katha kirtan. Someone said, in my heart, in Hridaya Balila Kebab, Dayata Das, his name, Shivarsha Bhanavi Dayata Das. His service is Kirtan, Gopidhana Kata, Kirtan by verbal description of the wealth of the gopis. So it's packed up. There's a lot said in a few words there. Gopidan means Krishna is the wealth of the gopis. That's described by that. Joshua Dinandana Brajabarana Gokula Ranjana Gopi Parana Dhana. So he's the wealth of the life of the gopis. Also, Bhakti Rao Thakur, another song he describes. This is what I'm just speaking from Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhava, actually. So. Same topic said again and again. Sharashaki Shiddhi, Brajagopidan, Paramachanchala Shati. Nirbishesh Gyan, Jogira Dhyan, Ekanina Paishtiti. Bhaktivinoda Thakur elsewhere described that Sharashaki Shiddhi is the dhan, the wealth of the Brajagopis. Sharashaki Shiddhi means that each individual perfected devotees relishing in their own particular personal service to Krishna. So this, anyway, the point is that Saraswati Thakur, he pointed beyond the Vaikuntha, come out of this material world, Utishta, Jagrata, Prapya, Varan, Nibodhata. First thing, get up, wake up, attain the boon that is possible in human life. That's the first thing. And what is that boon? Become, understand oneself to be the pure, undifferentiated self. No, not that at all. There, We'll find in the Gauriamat logo, there is Vidhi and Rag. Vidhi with Lakshmi Narayana. Vidhi means rules and regulations. And Raga means the path of attachment, leading to Radha and Krishna. He described himself that even though we are tiny beings on the path of Vidhi, he described we are on the path of Vidhi. But clearly he is giving the basic principles, rules and regulations of devotional service is meant to lead to Raga. It's meant to lead to pure attachment for Radha and Krishna beyond Vaikuntha. What time are we supposed to do the rest of the function? Okay. So there's more time also. I should have brought the Bhakti Siddhanta Vaibhav with me. There's Yeah, you can get it. Yeah, all three. I have to find that. Just one verse by Sridhar Maharaj. In one verse, he captures the whole mission, personality of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Just, have you seen there's one verse, Mahabharat? Have you seen that? One verse, Ramayana. Eka Shloki Mahabharat. Everything is summarized in one verse. And Ramayana also. So in one verse he has summarized the mission of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Let me see if I can find it. I used to know this book inside out, upside down, on a computer screen when I was working on it. Oh, let me see now. Here we go. Yeah, I got it. And this is with Sridhar Maharaj's own expanded translation. Ah, yes. There it is. Let me blow it up a little bit. Nikila Bhuvana Maya Chinna Vichinna Katri Vibuddha Bahula Mrigya Mukti Mohanta Datri Shitila Vidhi Raga Radha Radhe Shadhani Vilasatu Hridi Nityang Bhakti Siddhanta Vani. It's very beautiful sounding, is it not? So with his first step, not stride, with his first step, this is Sridhar Maharaj, Bhaktisila Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj, describing Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. With his first step, he cut to pieces the entire plane of exploitation. So that's his translation of Nikila Bhuvana Maya Chinna Vichinna Katri. Maya, Nikila Bhuvana Maya, he's translated as that, as the entire plane of exploitation. He can translate it any way he likes because it's his own verse. Nikila Bhuvana Maya Chinna Vichinna Katya. Chinna, cut, and then Vichinna, cut it again, and there's nothing left. Nothing left. With his first step, he cut to pieces the entire plane of exploitation. And with his second, although there's no step stated in the verse itself, he crushed the speculation of scholars of salvation and liberation. With his third, he softened Vaidhi Bhakti with a touch of divine love, Raga Marga. So he gave rules and regulations, but it was not, it's meant for Raga Marga. Taking us beyond Vaikuntha, He has introduced us to the highest worship of Sri Sri Radha Govinda. With the softness of Vrindavan within and the hardness of a devastator without is something like a terrorist, you may think. He's a very hard person. He was cutting everything to pieces. Not literally, but cutting people's illusions to pieces. With the softness of Vrindavan within and the harshness of a devastator without, he created havoc in the world by fighting with one and all, single-handedly battling against the whole world and cutting everything to pieces was his external feature. His second attitude was to stop the boasting research of scholars and doctors of different schools of thought. And third, to minimize and slacken the grandeur of the worship of Narayan and establish service to Radha Govinda as the topmost attainment. He caused the domain of love to descend into this plane with service to Radha Govinda, establishing that the flow of divine love from the heart is all in all. That was his history, the real existence of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. May his divine teachings, Bhakti Siddhanta Vani, dance eternally within the core of our hearts. To minimize and slacken the grandeur of the worship of Narayan and establish service to Radha Govinda as the topmost attainment, that is particularly one feature of his preaching he wanted to establish in South India. Because he said that in South India, people, they know Lakshmi Narayana, but they don't know Radha Krishna. Of course, they're not totally ignorant. Dr. Radha Krishna, the first president of India, the name was known, but they don't know the worship. They know to worship with great awe and reverence Lakshmi Narayana, but they don't know the service to Radha Govinda. So that is a duty of our devotees here in South India. And he also said they know Archan, but they don't know Kirtan. And of course, Kirtan is also known in South India. But that also, Kirtan in all languages. I heard once, I was staying somewhere near to Udupi, and we went to some temple way out in the country. It was some temple established by Vadi Raj Tirthos, and they went in the evening, and it was very nice. There were a group of young men there singing songs of Vadi Raj Tirthos in Tulu, which is a very Sanskritized language, so you could follow to some extent. Very sweet, very nice, but definitely the grandeur was there. The sweetness was there, but the understanding that he's God, that was very prominent also. So what kirtan always means, sweetness is there. In reciting verses, stotrapat, generally there's a mood of awe and reverence in that. But kirtan with singing, sweetness is always there. So the full expression of kirtan is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's kirtan. And practically in South India also, this recitation of verses is more prominent, even among Vaishnavas, than is kirtan, singing. Singing is there, but this reciting of verses is considered on a higher level. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted to demonstrate that actually kirtan is higher in the sense that from our perspective we may think that praising the Lord in a very awe-filled manner, that is the highest. But highest is what pleases Krishna the most. So kirtan. Krishna is very pleased with kirtan. He likes to hear kirtan. Gaura bihita kirtan. The kind of kirtan that is approved by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's a very important word. It just comes up in one song. Gaura bihita kirtana shuni. What's the next line? Anande hridayanache, I think. My heart dances when I hear the kind of kirtan that is given, approved by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's a very important word because there's so many kirtans going on. But it may not be pleasing to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu if it is bhakti siddhanta viruddha, if it doesn't have the proper philosophical understanding, or if it has rasa bhas, or if it's even it may be the perfect song, but if it's not sung with the proper attitude and understanding of in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that before there can be Gaura Bihita Kirtan, there has to be Gaura Bihita Shravan. We have to hear properly first. Then we can become eligible for executing Gaura Bihita Kirtan. We can chant properly when we've heard properly. So he chanted properly with the hope that someone would hear properly. And Srila Prabhupada said, because I have heard nicely, therefore I can speak nicely. That was his secret. If we want to learn how to speak, we can take a course on public speaking. Don't close your eyes when you're speaking. And I'm closing my eyes when I'm speaking. That's the first thing you're not supposed to do, which Prabhupada mostly did also, actually. But the secret is hear very well. Guru Mukha Padma Vaka Chitete Korea Aika Ana Korea Hamalayash. If we hear very well, then we can speak very well. Speak very well doesn't mean at the end someone says, thank you very much, Maharaj, for the wonderful class, which you know they're going to say anyway, whatever you say. But speak very nicely means one becomes an instrument. And others, they can hear what they need to hear. All right, is there any question? Otherwise, we can read. Where is that? Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, what happened to that? It really is most nectar filled. The seer and the seen. Maybe this should, when I re-release this book, this should come at the beginning. Maybe that should be the first chapter. The seer and the seen. It puts everything else in perspective. It just, everything gets... Yeah, it puts everything in, everything becomes very clear. Everything he did, everything he said, why he said it, everything becomes in perspective. Otherwise, he'll be misunderstood. This section, the seer and the seen, is largely based on one essay in the Gaudiya, which was published after his departure. In the Gaudiya and in Nadia Prakash for weeks and weeks afterwards, there were articles just like that. This one is called Sri Srila Prabhupada O Drigdrishya Vichar. O just means and Drigdrishya Vichar. Drigdrishya, the consideration of the seer and the scene. There were dozens of articles on this Srila Prabhupada and Yukta Vairagya. Srila Prabhupada and preaching in the West. Srila, so many, they analyzed all his pastimes and that's why I say this Bhakti Siddhanta Vaibhav, it's just an introduction, really. It's really just an introduction. There's oceans and oceans of... There's a lot of material. With this. So this is foundational. Everything else is to be understood. Where do I write that? This precise and unequivocal ascertainment of the position of the jiva and stressing this point as the essential foundation of bhakti was the unique contribution that Srila Saraswati Thakur tried to inculcate in his disciples and the general public. The extent to which individuals, religions and sampradayas recognized, acquiesced to and lived by it was, in Srila Saraswati Thakur's estimation, the litmus test of their genuineness, sincerity and advancement in bhakti. Everything in the world is to be judged by this. How much actually theistic and genuine is a religious process? See, how much is understood in there? Actually, it's not understood in any religious process. That we are meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. We are meant to act for his enjoyment. He is not an object of our enjoyment, or a sugar daddy in the sky who blesses us for enjoyment. That's the idea in Christianity and Islam. You be good, believe in God, get bathed in the blood of Jesus. Macabre. And then you go to heaven and then you enjoy grace of Jesus. He arranges everything for you. He arranges big house for you in the sky, lots of money and servants, virgins, famously in Islam. But the understanding is that we are meant for Krishna's pleasure. We are slaves of Krishna. That's what he wants. Thy will, not mine, be done, as Jesus said. But there's a higher teaching than that, which is that I don't have any separate will. I don't have any desire separate. So everything is to be judged by this. So, for instance, if someone says that we should be genuine, I saw this on a website just about being genuine. Being genuine means that we understand our position as a servant of Krishna and we try to convey that to others. There's no other meaning to it. Because the genuine position of the jiva is to be the servant of Krishna. And anything else is false. So being genuine as just considering myself, well, I'm a person and I'm genuine. But I'm very genuine in my dealings with others. But what about Krishna? I am an individual, I am a living being. But I am part and parcel of Krishna. I'm meant for serving Krishna. That is my identity. I have no other identity. That's what being genuine means. Everything else is false. So being genuine, you have whatever's in your heart, you express it. That's not being genuine, because we have all so many bogus, nasty things in our hearts. Being genuine means, first of all, to recognize we have so many nasty things in our heart, and we have to overcome that by service to Krishna. Selfless service to Krishna. This Drigdrisha Vichara was particularly a rebuttal to the Mayavadi theory of Triputi Vinash, which proposes that spiritual perfection lies in the Vinasha, destruction, of the Triputi, three factors, namely between Jnana, knowledge, Gaya, the object of knowledge, and Gyata, the knower, with all merging into one, with all merging into oneness. That's the Mayavadi idea, or one of the Mayavadi ideas. They're different schools of Mayavad, or different schools of Advaitavad. Mayavad technically is one school of Advaitavad. So these divisions parallel Drishya, Darshan, and Drashta, which Mayavadis also intend to amalgamate. Yet Vaishnava Acharyas had demonstrated that such homogenization being impossible, the goal of Mayavadis was even more illusory than their conception of the hypothetically illusory world they attempted to escape, and that the much-tooted Mayavad was thus an elaborate logical fallacy. As I keep on saying, this Mayavad is all nonsense. It may sound very philosophical, but it's an elaborate logical fallacy. While purporting to explain the meaning of existence, it is ultimately meaningless, and thus it is a stupendous hoax and a crime against God and humanity. That's Mayavad for you. So Drigdrisha Vichara, that puts us in our proper position, understanding Krishna is the enjoyer, we are meant for his enjoyment. If it's understood, it destroys Mayavad just by itself, just this. And all ideas of being happy in this world, of being good in this world, that's all destroyed. Of performing bhakti for our own misconceived benefit, everything is thrown out by this Drigdrisha Vichara. So very important to understand this. So, okay, now we're supposed to have Pushpanjali. All right, and bhog offering? So? Oh, you offer on the altar, that's the idea? Hare Krishna. So then the question should come, we have to serve Krishna. How do we serve Krishna? Through the Guru. Through the parampara. How can we best, on this day, we should think, how can we best serve Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur? That question should come in our mind. And the answer is by serving Srila Prabhupada's mission. Same thing, none different. That's the answer. So, Param Gurudev Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai! Hare Krishna.